So, Monday morning, it's Jeremy Dietz here, Certified Financial Planner and Registered Life Planner with my Monday Manifesto for Monday, 2nd of June 2014. And as usual for the first Monday of the month, I'm going to take a look at global markets and economies, reviewing what happened in May and the outlook going forward. Across in the US, the revised figures for the first quarter GDP were even weaker than initial calculations. However, it's still the weather that's seen as the primary cause for this dip, and current monthly figures generally trending upwards. Importantly, investors seem to be seeing the first quarter GDP as a bit of a flash in the pan, and they continue to be upbeat with many indices in the US now at record highs. It's important also to note that employment figures continue to improve in the US, and we've seen sharp drops in initial unemployment claims being recorded recently. There seems to be plenty of room to go. The recovery's only really just started, and there's plenty of scope, I think, for further growth there in the US. Heading across to Europe, and the UK is really looking quite positive at the moment. The UK GDP figures were especially positive. GDP was up just over 3% in the first quarter, taking the size of the economy almost back to pre-crisis levels. And it's interesting to note the UK's recovery is really pretty broad-based and therefore more sustainable, with gains in personal consumption, that's spending to you and I, the housing market, and also corporate investment. Corporates are beginning to reinvest back into their businesses, and corporate investment was up 2.7% per annum in the first quarter. So all this makes predicting a rise in interest rates really quite interesting. With unemployment falling dramatically and above trend growth, we'd expect interest rates to start rising. However, the BOE, the Bank of England, sees significant spare capacity in the economy, which I suppose is true, after what we've been through over the last 5 or 6 years. And Mark Carney is apparently in no hurry to raise rates. Indeed, it now sees a rise in interest rates as a policy that's the last line of defence. So this further postponement in a rise in base rates has actually led to a general easing of bond yields over the last month or so, which had risen significantly over the last 12 months on the presumption that interest rates would start to rise quite significantly. Across in Europe, Germany first quarter GDP growth of 2% was driven exclusively by internal demand, retail sales and construction in particular. And that's a big change. If Germany continues now to buy more than it sells, rather than relentlessly pursuing trade surpluses, this is going to help lift the rest of Europe. And Europe, to be fair, needs this. In spite of good figures from Germany, peripheral Eurozone economies remain weak, and a sustainable Eurozone recovery is still some way off. Euro stocks have come off their recent highs a little, but there is still an underlying support, particularly given the rumour mill, which is predicting significant measures from ECB this week to counter deflation and stimulate growth. There is even talk, I have to say, of a full-grown asset purchase programme, something the ECB has studiously avoided in spite of seeing what this can do in the UK and US. Maybe this is possibly a bridge too far for the ECB, and we'll know for sure on the 5th when the ECB reports. As always in Europe, I think it's a case of slow and steady, taking a full generation to move to a fully federal model, or the alternative, a loose affiliation of states. Heading across to Asia Pacific, in India the stock market has soared on the back of the BJP's win in the elections. In Japan, Abenomics is going ahead slowly but surely. Markets may be down 10% this year in Japan, however the economy is still showing positive signs, especially for industrial production, which remains strong. Really importantly in Japan, inflation is normalising, with CPI inflation now in positive territory, and on the back of this, business sentiment and investment are also rebounding. In China, growth is slowing, but maybe that's no bad thing for a country which has the second largest GDP in the world. Looking at some of the other indicators, the US dollar is down a bit after the revised GDP figures. We've seen substantial declines in the euro over recent weeks as a fresh stimulus becomes more likely. Oil remains steady at around US dollars 100 to 105. Let's have a look at what the markets did in May, and they were reasonably positive. Japan was up 3%, the Far East was up 4%, Europe was up 2%, the UK was up 1%, the US was up 2%, oil was up 4%. To $104 a barrel, and gold was down 3%, now stands at $1,243 an ounce. So the bottom line, it's arguable that for the first time since 2008, all the economies in the world are pointing in the right direction, more or less, moving from recovery towards sustainable growth. And we're continuing to move to an economy and markets driven by growth and interest rates, and no longer by central bank policy. Equity valuations are higher than a year ago. However, except for the US stock market, most global valuations are still well below their long-term average. The US is at slightly above average, so no real red flags on valuations, especially in the context of a sustained recovery and plenty of capacity. Risks are still there for sure, especially political and geopolitical risks rather than economic risks. So it is important to continue with a balanced multi-asset class portfolio protected against those macroeconomic risks and the correct asset allocation to ensure the right money is in the right place at the right time. That's it from me. Hope that's been of help and of interest. Take care. Have a very, very good week.